I'm going to talk to you guys about the dangers of isolation, all right? And this is, I feel like the pandemic kind of like set us up kind of badly because it kind of allowed new habits, bad habits, to form in our lives, whether we realize it or not. That we are, I know that me, for myself, when I came out of like all of a sudden pandemic mode, like there was all of a sudden this weird sort of like social anxiety like that I had never had before. Like all of a sudden I was a little like more anxious walking into social situations, more than I'd ever been before. So we're going to cover this topic because it's important, and really there are two parts to it, so you'll know when I hit the second part, but right now we're going to focus on you, why you shouldn't isolate, all right? We're going to talk about why you shouldn't isolate for you, all right? Not for anybody else, just for you, all right? So when I, as many of you know, I used to drive boats, right? And so one time I saw a severe upside in not taking my vacation time. So I was working 4 weeks on, and then 2 weeks off, and then 4 weeks on again, right? And that was my hitch, right? So I said, you know what I'm going to do? And it's not like I needed the money. I was just stupid. I decided I'm just going to stay on the boat, ride it out, won't spend any money either. So I'll just keep riding it out, keep getting paid. So I'll get paid for, they ended up extending the hitch. So I was out there for 11 weeks in total. Now 11 weeks, with like 22 people that you know, and they aren't like, none of them are Christians, none of them like have that mindset, and you can end up doing some kind of funky things because in your head you can get kind of messed up, like, and you don't even really recognize it until all of a sudden you step out and you're like around other people again, and you're like, are like friendly people and normal people, and you're like, man, what was going on in my mind? Like, how did that, like, happen? And I think we see this in the movies and with prison, right? So what ended up happening was, is by the end of the hitch, like, literally, like, we're, like, week 10, week 11, like, I was the most miserable human being to be around on Earth. Like, I, entire, like, I mean, I didn't want to be near me, you know? Literally, I would go up, I'd work, no one would talk to me, which is very abnormal. And that was partially because I had already shut them down, all right? So it was like I had already isolated myself. And what the crazy things that go on in your mind is, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know what? They're like, kind of out for me, all these, like, old salty sea dogs. And who knows? They might have been a little bit. But I definitely blew it up, all right? Like, I had a whole scenario going in my head. And this happens with all people, pretty much. And I think when we kind of, like, isolate in ourselves, kind of tuck ourselves away, and don't deal with situations, we make them out to be much bigger than they are. And so I know I've seen that in my life, and Victor talked about the tendency of our human heart, right? How they're necessarily, like, they are evil. The thoughts of our heart, without God's intervention, they are evil. And that is a very dangerous thing. So in order to go through this, we're going to go to Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew 3. We're going to start there, verse 16. And this is kind of, it is a really cool record. And we're going to start in an unusual place, maybe. That's definitely not the right person. No, that is. We're right. All right, Matthew 3:16. So we're walking into Jesus being baptized, the whole bit. Remember, you got John the Baptist. That was Jesus' cousin. His cousin was right there. His family member, right? He, you know, his they were promised that verse together. Like, they must have had a little bit of a connection going on, both serving God, right? And here you have, in verse 16, it says, after he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. So, all of us, maybe some of us were baptized, most of us, I hope, and came up from the water. Now, you know what your baptism was like. Now, this is Jesus' baptism, so it's kind of like we're raising the bar a little bit, raising up in the ante. And he says, behold, the heavens were open. Didn't happen at my baptism, unfortunately. Yours? Victor's like, maybe. All right. I'm just fine. So the heavens are open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like as a dove and settling on him. All right. Once again, Spirit of God descending from the sky like a dove did not happen in my baptism. That did not happen, all right? Sean, did you see that? No? All right. I was just wondering. Probably just your dad in the cave giving you dirty look, you know? that's a good one. All right. So, all right. And settling on him, all right, and, beautiful scene, magnificent scene. And it says, verse 17, and behold, a voice from the heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, for with whom I am well pleased. All right, once again, didn't happen at my baptism. Would have loved it. I think God loves me, but didn't happen at my baptism, right? And so you have this gigantic, this probably did not happen at any other John's baptism moment where the skies opened up and the Spirit descends like a dove. And then you hear an audible voice from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. All right? You can kind of put yourself like right next to the lake right there, like right by Silver Bay, and be like, oh man, that would have been pretty crazy, right? And so you have this awesome moment, awesome, awesome, awesome moment. Now, next verse, chapter 4, all right, verse 1. Then Jesus was being led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. All right, so you go from this awesome scene to all of a sudden being led into the thick Connecticut nasty wilderness where, unlike in Israel, they actually have water around here even if it tastes yucky. All right, and even if it maybe makes you smell bad after you shower, all right, no water, right? He's just in the wilderness, all right? He's just in the wilderness, and it says he is being led up by the Spirit, all right? Now, I can tell you, let's just take a second. Jesus is isolated, going into, like, an isolation period, all right? But it says, like, he's being led by the Spirit, all right, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I don't think that, like, God is leading you by the Spirit to watch another episode of Netflix by yourself at your house. Like, or with your wife, or whatever, or instead of going to fellowship, or instead of going to church. I don't think God's necessarily moving you in that direction. That is probably just yourself, unfortunately, all right? And that is a reality that we all face. Me, I think, I don't know if Victor even watches Netflix anymore. I think he just got rid of his cell phone and gave up and living like a nomad. So that is just a reality of the life that we live, right? We know that is not God's Spirit. So if you can turn over to Proverbs 18:1, and Victor actually had this, and I promise you, I wrote this whole sermon before I heard anybody else's teaching. All right, I might have, like, edited it a little bit, but I wrote this whole thing, and then they, I'm kind of wrapping us up. So, it says, Proverbs 18:1 says, one who separates himself, or one who isolates himself, NASB 2020, says separates himself, or in the ESB, one who isolates himself, seeks what?
His own desire.
his own desire. All right, and now listen, we all took the test. All right, some of us who were in Sarah's workshop took the test, and I am an introvert, guys. Like, I am. You know what my dad said about me? You know what I can't believe he got, like, hit the nail on the head this accurately. You know what he gives Dan? Just leave him alone. That is kind of like sometimes the best president you can give me is just kind of give me some space, let me be for a little while. Now, sometimes that's not always the best thing for me, but sometimes I do enjoy my alone time. And so when we isolate, and I'm not talking about for the necessary period, when I'm talking about when we are all by ourselves for long periods of time, when our isolation, when our self-imposed quarantine from no disease all of a sudden rolled into, and I'm not saying COVID, some people can take that wrong. COVID is real. I'm saying when you're quarantining yourself for no reason at all, and then all of a sudden you're by yourself, it is for selfish reasons. That is what I'm saying. I'm not saying you need to be with people all the time. I'm not saying don't take a break by yourself. I am saying, if this is the life you're living, if this is where your decisions are, if you're missing things so that you can be by yourself, and you've had plenty of alone time already, then guess what? It is for selfish reasons. That is what the Bible tells us, all right? And that's something that I also have to live with, all right, as an introvert, all right? So, for the rest of the chapter, let's go back over there, because it's kind of funky. So he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness, tempted by the devil, obviously not for selfish reasons, all right? And I think that, honestly, if you look at a lot of, I know I had these opportunities when I was all our ages or younger, I had opportunities to go other places that would have advanced my career more. But guess what? They would have removed me out of my community. And I remember there were moments where I was having such a hard time finding a job in Albany that paid well, or such a hard time finding a job that paid well in that area, and that it was like getting a little crazy. And like, I'm like, God, like, I may just have to move somewhere else. Unless you open the door, you show me where to go. And I trusted in him in those times. I wound myself to put my trust in him instead of just moving away or letting my career take me away for those selfish reasons, all right? And I believe that just, I'm going to say this, I'm probably going to get some heat for it. If you just move away for your career, it might just be for a selfish reason, all right? It may be. All right? Because our career is secondary to our mission. Our mission, our purpose is to glorify God Almighty, and it says that we need to be a part of the body of Christ in order to do that. All right? And you cannot do that by yourself. All right? So, brothers and sisters, all right, here we go. The three temptations. Jesus gets tempted three times, and I want to look at these with you guys real quick. So he tempts him with bread. I'm not going to read the whole thing. So he fasted 40 days, right? I fasted for, 7 days, all right? And, like, and Ruth probably remembers me walking into her house like a dead animal. Like, just like, all I could do was sit, and sitting was painful. I remember, because it was a Sunday. And I was sitting was painful, everything was painful. I didn't like, why miserable, right? All right, that is, Jesus has me my 33 days, all right? I'm just saying, and I have a feeling that he had slightly less fat reserve than I did, all right? Just by how things worked back then, all right? Slightly less fat reserve, all right? And so you can imagine 40 days into this fast, the devil says, well, just command these stones into bread. And Jesus is like, nah, I ain't falling for that one, devil. You can take that lie and you can shove it, all right? I don't want it, all right? pushing away. I don't need that bread. I don't need the bread that bad. And then he moves forward, all right? And this is where it gets real interesting, guys. All right, because how many of you guys feel like you know the Bible pretty well? You've read it through at least once, all right? You gotta have, yeah, you feel like you know it pretty well, all right? The next thing the devil does, the next thing he does is he tempts Jesus with God's word, all right? And here we are, we're raised, the word, or God's words are a light to my feet, a lamp to my feet, right? And the devil is tempting Jesus with God's word, all right? And we're like, we think we can stand on our own. Like, if you're going to tell me, all right, now I'm going to end up getting tempted by the devil with the word of God, like, this is what I, my bread and butter, my truth, my way, right? This is what's supposed to correct me and put me on the right path, and I'm getting tempted with this? Like, I don't think I'm going to stand a chance by myself. We need the community. Because we all, in some ways, believe lies, all right? And that is what the devil does, is he tries to make you believe lies, whether they're about yourself or about the people in your community. He tries to make you believe those lies. And Jesus wasn't having it. He comes back at him with another scripture. I was just thinking about, that's crazy. The devil is using God's word against God's son, all right? And the third one he brings him up on the temple, right? We know this one. And he sets him there and says, I'll give you all of this, right? And the devil tells him a lie, and Jesus doesn't believe it. He's like, I don't think you can do that. I know what my father can do, all right? So, but then after all these temptations, led 40, and this is what the devil does, is he separates you from your community. He separates you from your people, and then he attacks you. He's not going to attack you in the midst of them. You don't see lions attacking like great herd. They always look for the outliers. They look for the ones that are kind of like by themselves or can't make it on their own. And this is what the devil does. He takes that personality of a roaring lion and he does exactly that. He looks for you when you're isolated, when you're by yourself, when you don't feel like you can trust the people in your community. He takes that opportunity and he will attack you then. And that is when you need your people the most. All right, so. And this whole thing is just very remnant, these whole three temptations of the Screwtape letters, right, Sean? Talked about it a couple weeks ago. And I just read through it, I was like, man. And to go on top of like the failing of our little human minds, I'm inundated by how weak we are, all right, or how little we can do by ourselves. All right, I'm just gonna present something to you. We're just gonna look at your salvation, all right? Just that love, that your salvation, all right? So the Bible says that that the Holy Spirit, the Helper that God sent, is made, it comes, and it convicts the world concerning sin, all right? And so that's in John 6:8, all right? So, like, when you were convicted, and then all of a sudden you decided, like, oh, you know what? I want to live my life for God. Guess what? God was behind it, all right? So, like, your own salvation, you didn't even walk into that by yourself, all right? And here we are thinking, like, we can stand alone in front of all of the world and all of the evil in it and in front of the devil himself and say, I can handle this on my own? Like, no. Like, we need one another. We need that grouping. All right? And go on. Let's look at another thing. It says, like, we can't even learn God's word. We can't even know him properly without his Holy Spirit. John 14:26, it says, he teaches us all things. All right, and he makes us remember what he has taught us. All right, when you think about that, I used to think that because I read the Bible a lot and I put a lot of it in there, I could like cross-reference and look back. And now I realize that wasn't my brain; it was God working in me to show me that. It was God working in me to show me that truth. So, like, we can't even, like, keep everything in there. We can't even, like, learn about God properly. And here we are, like, expecting to, like, handle the world on our own. Like, we need God. We need our people. We need our community. All right? So, Jesus goes through these three temptations. Goes through these 40 days. He doesn't stay in the desert, though. What he does is he has these temptations. He's led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And then he goes back to Galilee. So it's not, you may go for a time by yourself. But then what will happen? What should happen? And if it doesn't happen, then you are lost. Is you should come back to your community again. You should come back to your people again. All right? So, let's go over to part two here. Part two. I'm a little confession, I guess. So Sean's teaching last night. I at one point was one of these things, as probably many of us were, because we all kind of suck at some point. And I can say that because I'm not in Arkansas and no one's going to yell at me for it. All right. Praise God. All right. All right. So we all kind of suck at one point, right? And I remember I went to the Bible college and this was a great decision for me. This is where God was leading me. But I remember one of my complaints was there is no community here. All right. There's no community for me here. Now, what I realize now, is I was not being a part of that community. I was not trying to make a community. I was just looking for one that was already there. So I did not take the first step. And this is where it really comes down, is, guys, it is not everybody else's duty to make something for you. The Bible does not address it like that. All right? It is your duty to look at people and invest in people and try and get to know people. And that is where community comes in. All right? And one of my greatest fear right now is for the church is that we are in danger because of our isolation, because of our individualism, hyper-individualism. We want what we want. We want our hopes and dreams that we may not be a part of the body of Christ. And without the body of Christ, we are off mission. We are off target. We are not going the way that God wants us to go. Because part of your life, when you decide, all right, I want to live my life for God, guess what? That means you also need to be a part of the body of Christ, and you cannot do that by yourself, right? We went over this, we talked about this, but we will end up failing our mission if we're just by ourselves, if we're not taking part in the body of Christ together, working together. All right, so Romans 12:5, and I think at some point somebody had to read this by now, I'm sure. Romans 12:5. So it says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. All right, I'm just going to say that again because I'm listening, all right? Individually members of one another. All right, so the closest thing that I can kind of come up with this in this area, and I know, I'm married to Shelby, right? And so when I'm looking at Shelby, I know that if she is encouraged, if she is happy, if she is spiritually healthy, if she is emotionally healthy, then my life will be better, all right? Because we are kind of one flesh in that area, right? And so, well, I'm not saying we're one flesh in the same way, but we are individually members of one another. We are supposed to be united like this, together. It is not, all right, so Sean stands here and plays the drum, and Jerry does his own thing on the bass guitar, And then Bradley, he's just off playing his own little tune on the piano. Because if they all did not work, all right, maybe Bradley is playing his own little tune. Brad, are you playing your own little tune? And I gotta look, all right? I gotta look. No, but there you go. No, they're supposed to work together. They're supposed to function as one. They're supposed to come out in one voice, one melody, one purpose, one focus. All right, and that is to put together the best music, all right? One purpose, one focus. Now imagine if Shelby and I had two different missions. We just decided to go our own way, like, and do it our own separately. That would not go well for either one of us, all right? Either one of us, either, like, the kingdom of God as a whole, it would not keep us on our purpose. It would not go well in our lives, all right? And this is kind of for us, all right, in that we together are supposed to make me focus on one purpose, united as almost making a melody, making a sound, making a single focus, a single goal forward towards the kingdom of God, towards God's glory, all right? All right, so. And so this is where kind of like the dangerous lie comes in, where you show, and Sean talked about this, is like we show up for church for us when we need to be spiritually fed. Like all of a sudden people think, oh, I really need to be like fed this week. I really need to like how to get back together. Like, oh, let's show up for church now. Let's show up for Wednesday night now. And it's like the wrong mindset. The wrong mindset in entirely. Because when we gather together, all right, and this is not like, I say this is all out next level Christianity. It's not next level, it's just what Christ told us to do. Like, it's just Christianity. Show up for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Show up for them and be there with them. Not just be there with them, but like, ask them about their lives. Yeah, all right, Jen, can we do our little chant now? And this is not that complicated, all right? So Jen, I'm going to give you an example of how you don't want to be, how most, maybe some people are, and then I'm going to show you maybe how you show Jen something a little bit more. All right, so Jen, oh man, I was up this morning, I saw a beautiful sunrise, all right, and I just really enjoyed it. I wish I had a better phone to take a picture of it, and you know, I'm sure you could have gotten a better picture, but all right, Jen, do you feel at all great about this conversation? You're just nodding your head. Yeah. You're not, like, enjoying this, right? Yeah. I've had better, right? Oh, yeah. So, Jen, how are you doing today? Yeah? You sleep all right?
I did. Last night was better.
Yeah.
I sleep in the first night.
Yeah, that's how it always is. Yeah. Yeah. How are the kids at school?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. But now I want to ask, because I care about Jen. Let me ask you a question, Jen. Which one worked out? Which one do you think made you feel more loved, more cared about, more like I care about you? Okay, the second conversation. Yeah, this is not that hard. This is not that difficult. This is, I feel like a lot of what we do not know, I think all of us care about one another. I think, I'm going to jump out on a limb and say all of us care about one another. But we do not know how to show others that we care about them. All right, and I feel like we end up in this kind of predicament where we don't know to, like, I love them, I do things for them, but, like, how do I show that I care about them? Like, how do I let them know that I am there for them? And part of it is asking them questions about their lives. All right, and I've seen this work. All right, I've seen this play out in the most traumatized of traumatized individuals, where it all you can do is kind of ask them questions, see how they're doing, and that may be more than they've ever gotten before, all right? And sometimes it's literally just asking questions and showing that you care, all right? And by showing that you, all right, and here's the thing, is I think we all want deeper relationships with one another, but we don't know how to get there. We don't know the path. And guess what happens when you show people you care? The next time you ask a question, they may be a little bit more honest with you, and a little bit more honest, and a little bit more honest, until they trust you with what's going on in their lives. And they're willing to, like, get into the nitty-gritty, get into the good stuff, get into the powerful stuff, where we get healing, where we can move forward, where we can bear one another's burden, all right? But sometimes we all kind of have to show up, we cannot trust everyone immediately. And that is how you show that you care, and it's simple in the conversation. And you can do this with anyone in your church, anyone. Like, you can do this with anyone. Like, literally the guy who you're buying, like, candy at the gas station. Ask them how their day is going. What's going on in their lives. You ask a parent how their kids are doing. They love it. They do. They tell you all about them. All right? They love it, guys. That is how you show that you care. And it's easy, it doesn't take that much energy, it doesn't take any money, all right? So you got almost no reason not to do it, all right? Super simple, all right? And then, so going back, show up for the opportunity to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Show up for the opportunity to bear one another's burdens. And it may not be every week, but it may be every other week. It may be every 4 weeks. But showing up, if you're not there, you don't even have an opportunity to do it. And let me tell you something else. If Shelby's doing well, if Sean's doing well, all right, Sean's not in my church. But if Jimmy's doing well, Jimmy's in my church. If Jimmy's doing well, guess what? I am doing well because I am a part, I'm a member with him. All right, if we are moving forward, if we are pushing forward towards the gospel goal, of making disciples of all the nations, of showing our love for our community, our not just our communities, but outside of our community of faith, then we are doing what God wants us to do, all right? And we show up to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, all right? Show up, and sometimes all you have to do is look and use your eyes and not head for the door the first second outside of service. Or the first second that Wednesday night is over, all right? It show up and look at the people around you and say, you know what? They look a little off. Like, they look in, they're just looking at the ground a lot. Like, I don't really know what's going on. And then talk to them. Ask them how they're doing. None of this is rocket science, guys. We're not dealing with rocket science. Show up to speak truth into one another's lives. Where the devil has told lies that are told lies in their lives, you have the opportunity when you show up to speak the truth, to tell them that, about God's love, to tell them about all that's going on. I can't just think of any traumatic stuff right off the top of my head right now. All right? But we have those opportunities, and we show up for the opportunity to serve one another on for good work. All right? And this, so let's go to Hebrews 10. I'm not even sure if I have a marker there, so I might have to use it. Nope. All right. Hebrews 10, 23, 24. And this is like our theme verse for this kind of weekend. Maybe it was a theme verse. Oh, yeah. It was in an email. So Hebrews 10, 23 to 24. 23 wasn't a part of it, but 24 was. But I want to point you at 23 first. 23. Let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering. All right, so that is the goal, right? And our goal is to make it to the end. Our goal is to go to the kingdom of God. That is what our goal is. That is where we're headed, right? That is what we want to cling to, all right? But it says, for he who promised is faithful, right? And the very next statement, the next thing he's going into is saying, and let's consider how to encourage one another. And look, consider, all right, that is a soft word. I don't like how they translated it. when you look at the commentaries and how they say stir, it is like a harder word. It is like, and you may show up somewhere. Let's say you show up at a place, and I see Brother Victor, all right? He's out there, he's loving people. And I'm like, oh, that's the new way. I hadn't seen that way. And it causes me, it has this effect on me where I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, this is the next step. This is the thing I want to do. I want to love more. I want to do what they're doing. When I see my brothers loving more, I want to love more as well. All right, when I see my brothers living faithfully, I want to live faithfully as well. All right, and it causes this effect. And I think Sean had a great idea. He prayed this morning, and he said, the embers in a fire, right? And we've all seen a fire, and like you might have like a little section that's over here, and then your main section over there. That little section over here, it tends to go out first. All right, and when they're isolated, when they're by themselves, but when you push them next to the other embers, when you push them next into the fire, it builds, and we flame one another, and we help each other, and we help push each other further, all right? We help each other strive for more. And so I think where I want to go is Romans 13:8. And that'll be like our last stop. All right, so it says, Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. All right. So how many of you when you have a debt, you want to pay it? Or when you owe your friend money, you want to pay it? I think all of us pretty, because like, you know, hopefully God has changed us enough, then we want to pay back our debts, right? And it's saying when owe nothing to anyone, but except to love one another. Do you ever think of your love for, let's just say, the person next to you, that you owe them love? Like, whether you realize it or not, you owe them. Like, God says you owe them. Like, they have a certificate of debt in your name that you owe them love. Whether you realize it or not, whether you think that it's wrong or right or whatever, that you owe them. You owe your community this love. All right, because of what God's done for you, because of what Christ's done for you, he's saying, you owe them. Whether any of us realize it, whether we let it show in our lives, we owe them. All right? So when we decide to isolate, and we decide to do things on our own, and decide to take the selfish break, we're failing. We're failing what God has had us to do. All right, so I realize I've been ultra negative probably this whole time. So I want to paint you a vision. I want to paint you a little vision. You have the body of the body of Christ. And I want to paint you a vision of like the moments where maybe you didn't feel encouraged, but maybe you're able to encourage somebody in the way that you hadn't been encouraged. And then they're better for Christ. And then they're out there serving, and they're having victories. They're having great moments. And they're serving and loving him well. All right? And then maybe some of the times where you needed to be strengthened and you weren't strengthened. And you strengthen your brother like that. And you give him strength. And you help him endure the trial that he is going through, and you help push him on, and then and push him forward, then they're doing what they make it through. They make it through the trial, and now they're doing God's mission. They're doing something for the kingdom of God. And then I want to pause on this, I guess, and where your community is, they're honest with you. They're honest, and they tell you about the things that maybe you've done where they were wrong, where you were wrong. And you're able to change and correct those in your own heart, and you're able to go to God, and you're able to get healing from those things, instead of just kind of sitting low and having those things bother you for most of your life. You're able to go and feel loved, and know that in the community in which you're in, is you feel loved, and maybe you didn't feel loved, or maybe you're loving somebody else, and they're able to move forward. They're able to do what God has given them to do. They're able to give glory to God. Or maybe you have always in your life kind of lacked a person to guide and show you and move you forward and kind of like shape you into the person that you want to be. And they come alongside of you and they help you take that next step. They help you do the things that you couldn't do on your own. Maybe you are lacking that, and you go in your community, and you help mentor somebody. You help guide and shape them. You come alongside of them and show them the way to God. You show them how to give him glory. You help move them forward in their walk. But here's the truth, guys, is we can all have this community, and we can all be these people for one another. And it's all possible, and it's all there. And it's all for God's glory and God's goodness that he's bestowed upon us, and it's all a reaction towards that. That we're able to do these things for one another. We're able to bond each other in the community. And what happens is you have a church, you have a community that's ready to go to the battlefield. Instead of just isolated members, we're moving as a group. We're moving as a group that's loved and strengthened and stirred to good work. We're moving as a group to make disciples of all the nations. We're moving as one and doing what we all can do together. And we're ready to show the world when we do all of these things, when we do these things, guys, in Romans 12, we're ready to show the world the love that we have for one another, yes, where maybe it was lacking before. All right, so I want to close in prayer. And God, I just thank you for your mercy, God, and your goodness. And I thank you for all that you've done for us, God. And I pray that we can help push our brothers and sisters forward to the goal of your glory, to the goal of showing the world your goodness, showing the world the love you've had for us, the goodness you've shown to us, the mercy you've shown upon us, God, that we can move together as a group, united with one another, members of one another. God, I pray that we can do this all for your glory, that we can bear one another's burden, that we can show that we care. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.